This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
I feel like for every deal I do, I should get 3 referrals from it. And I track that. If I'm not doing that, maybe I didn't do a good enough job in that transaction if I'm not getting a referral from that person. And I ask for those referrals, you know? And what has happened from doing that? I don't have to pick up the phone and call people. By the time that person gets to me when that referral is coming, it's an alley-oop.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Color of Money podcast. Hey, I'm Emmerich Peace. I guess I'm the lead host today, and my boy Daniel Dixon, DD, from Colorado, he's on today, and Julia and Bo, they're off creating a new world, conquering the world today, so you got Daniel and myself, and we have the incomparable, the phenomenal, my man Keith James from Coalition Properties, and we're really going to talk about today just the whole idea of it doesn't matter how you start, what really matters how you end, and the idea of consistency and collaboration in your business and just growing a phenomenal business and collaborating with other people to make it happen. And Keith is a phenomenal resource for this whole conversation. I've really known Keith for about 3 years. I knew of Keith when they first started, but Keith and I, we not only real estate brothers, we basketball brothers, just a good brother. Some folks, the whole Coalition group, I've admired them from afar because I just love the way that these brothers came together and created a coexisting relationship. And it's about moving the needle forward. It's about growth and development. And we're just looking forward to a phenomenal session here with them. As I said, the incomparable Keith James. So Keith, you know, we've had a lot of conversations. We had conversations like private conversations. We have conversations at the gym. We talk about all kinds of stuff.
All the time.
So you were talking earlier in the beginning of the year, probably it was like February, March. You was kind of scratching your head a little bit. You're like, this is a little different. Things just not the way I planned them to be. The year didn't start the way it ended. Talk about the way the year started for you guys, because I believe we got to start from context when we talk about consistency. And the context is the way the year started for you, and we're going to get into later the way the year is ending for you. So the way the year started for you, how did the year start for you guys?
Yeah, quite frankly, to be super transparent, it was slow. Setting the appointments and meeting with people. I wasn't in front of enough people at the beginning of the year. And I think, honestly, leading up to like quarter four of last year, you know, sometimes you can start to feel burnt out. But in the new year of 2024, I really felt like this was a strange year starting off from the P&L standpoint, from the energy standpoint, and also from the appointments, quite frankly, which is our lead indicator, right? That translates to closing. And I think too, you know, you have a lot of, I call it factors affecting performance, right? Some of the things that we were focused on, and at the time I didn't know that, you know, now you look up and you're like, oh wow, the fruits of the labor, you see it now. But we were working on onboarding like crazy because we knew we had to bring on more agents, but we had to get our systems tight. And that was super important. And we were kind of doing a lot of the not so fun stuff. Like we cut our budget down from 160,000 to under 100,000, right? And I have to credit my business partner, Ryan, a lot because we had to become very lean. And that was kind of like the stuff that was punch you in the face, the budget you see. I'm like, how did we spend that? What's going on? But it was like the not so fun stuff we were spending a lot of time on. And I felt like, man, I'm not even able to go do appointments because I'm so tied into this and things of that nature. But we definitely see the fruits of the labor.
Well, the incredible part of that is like where the focus goes, the energy flows. And as business owners, as entrepreneurs, sometimes we lose sight of what we're working on because we're trying to build the business of the future, but we get away from the business of right now and booking those appointments. I think for agents that are listening, appointments are single-handedly the most important thing in our business. You've got to meet with more people. You've got to talk about real estate, have buyer consults, have listing consults, and keep building that pipeline. it's a huge metric that I don't think enough agents pay as close of attention to as the true leading indicator to their business.
Absolutely.
So here's the deal, Keith. All right. So now I just want you to know, we've fallen into too much of a formal structure, Daniel. We sound like really corporate in this conversation, and that is not our conversation. So, Keith, look, let's be real. Coming in for this year, last year, right? Was it that you got burned out, or was it the idea of, just be real, was it the idea of the success, and sometimes you take things for granted, it's just going to add up, it's just going to happen because it's been happening, and you just didn't put the right amount of energy into what you should have been putting the right amount of energy into?
I think it was a burnout. I honestly never been a person that would take anything for granted, especially when it comes to money or business or relationships, because I know what it feels like not to have that. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So I think it was more so just the burnout of the business and the high interest rate market and the less inventory on the market. It was a grind. You know, it was a real grind over the last year and a half, 2 years. So I truly think it was a burnout. I've traveled more this year than I have since I've been in real estate, quite frankly.
You're going, you worldwide now. He's going everywhere around the world.
He's been to Africa 2 times.
Yeah.
South America. I'm like, come on, bro. Yeah. Somebody got to do some work around here.
You know, I was talking to Ryan this morning, and I'm like, man, I'll travel more this year, and I'm going to do the most volume I've done this year than any other year in real estate with the least amount of transactions I've done. And, you know, when we were talking about the not so fun stuff that we're working on, that included the systems, you know, and really honing in on a lot of times. I feel like as business owners, you know, we're all business owners, right? We spend so much time in the business that we don't work on the business, right? And we have to work on a business. So down the line, the in the business stuff can work and flow so smoothly. And basically, and also having people come in to be able to replicate that same system fluidly.
All right. So I'm going to give you some Unc wisdom right now, because I've been around this game for a while. Just remember, the volume is one thing. Still focus on the transactions, because, you know, the price point goes up, and your price point goes up, the volume goes up, the money goes up. And then we start feeling good about that. At the end of the day, keep your transaction count the same, because that's where the magic started to happen.
I'm with you on that. I think that I leaned into more is being able to pass more deals off to where I don't have to do so many transactions, you know, to our agents.
Is that called leverage? Yeah. Is that called leverage?
1,000%. And that was some of the not so fun stuff, right? And that was tough for me a couple of years ago, being able to pass deals off.
It was tough because you're the great socialite. You want to talk to people all the time. Can't nobody do it better than you. If I show up, everything will work out.
100%.
And so what happens when we start doing that, like, we go back into an employee mindset where we start trading time for dollars. When you leverage, you're trading dollars for time. Because guess what? You're getting your time back. You're not making as much money on that particular transaction. However, you're getting your time back. The quality of life is coming back. And then you can focus on the higher price point clients, and you can do less deals, make the same amount or have the same volume, and you're buying your time back at that point. So absolutely. I get it. I get what you're saying there. Absolutely. And Daniel, I know you know about that, because I don't even know how your machine runs crazy. And I'd be like, damn, that dude doing what?
Well, I mean, you got to slow down before you can go fast.
Right.
And so I think, Keith, there's a lot of agents that we talk to that have a challenge with leverage, that have a challenge with handing things off or delegating. Talk to me a little bit about how did that click and how does that work? Because you're making more money. The business is growing. You're traveling more than ever. This is the life that agents want to live. But you also don't want to be waking up in a different time zone, having to write inspection objections and write contracts and things like that. So, like, how did you handle the delegation? Like, how did that click inside of your world? And what does that process and system look like?
Well, I think kind of going back, I had to be coached for opportunities like this. Like, coaching was very important. Shout out to my coach, Jen Davis.
Yeah, she's a beast.
Man, I mean, I've been with her since 2021, and she helped me hire my first showing specialist, bring on amazing leverage as far as transaction coordinating, and perfect our transaction coordinating systems and things of that nature. And so I had to be coached to be able to even like have the mindset of like what leverage looks like, right? Before my showing specialist, I was showing houses, right? And I was burning out so fast. We would get to June and I'm like, man, how can I do this for the rest of the year, you know? And so I had to be coached. And I also am thankful for my two business partners, Harrison Beecher and Ryan Butler, for also staying on me and holding me accountable for leverage. Because like, Keith, like, this is your game. You do this better than a lot of people out here when it comes to getting deals to the closing table and meeting with people in your ecosystem. But you got to have some leverage, because the more leverage you have, the further that we can go as a unit, right? And I've always been a team player, quite frankly. And so for the agents that are listening out here, you got to get some type of coaching, somebody in your circle that can see your blind spots. And I want as many people as possible seeing my blind spots, and I'll pay for that too.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah. And you know, cause it's hard to see the picture when you're in the picture, but I think we take something for granted here, Daniel. We took something for granted. Like, we assume that everybody knows who Keith James and Coalition Property is. So Keith, I believe we got to bring some context to this whole thing, so people understand the dynamic and the magnitude of what you guys have put together in less than 5 years. Cause I'm still amazed. Matter of fact,
I think I can join Coalition Properties?
How can I join Coalition Properties?
We need to have a conversation. We are, I'm 5 minutes from your office. Absolutely, man. So, we would love to have you.
So what the magnitude of what you guys do, man. Just I want you to run the numbers down. I want you to run the numbers down from year one, year two, year three, year four. Because I don't think that people really – I know that we have to let people understand and know the power of three brothers coming together and what can happen. They say, it's the African proverb, when spiders unite, they can tie down a lion. And so just give us some perspective on just Coalition Properties and what you guys have done in this short period of time.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. We launched Coalition, myself and my two business partners, March 2019. And we had our own individual successful business before we merged together. But when you're trying to do something bigger than yourself, you can't do it alone, right? And we decided to come together as brothers and three lions to take market share. And also what was super important for us, that we're Black, we're African-American. We wanted people to see that three Black brothers can come together and do something very great. And that's all a part of our mission statement and mantra, who we are, what we stand for. One other thing we wanted to do was create an opportunity platform so other agents can come in and be successful. And since 2019, we've sold over 1,600 homes, over $700 million worth of real estate volume. And also we facilitated over $1 million to charity. That philanthropy arm is super near and dear to our hearts. And, you know, we've grown quite a bit. We went through the growing pains. We've been through a lot of the struggles. We've been through some of the highs and the lows in this market, had to see. But we went through that together. And I think that that's the super important piece of it. And we came out successful.
So, like, you put that in context. You said 700 million. Let's just put that in context of last year. What did you guys sell last year?
Yeah, the volume, we did about 160 million last year.
It's 160 million.
Yep.
Approximate transaction count?
250.
This is a business that, it's not like you guys been in business for 30 years like me. You guys been in business for under 5 years. And Gary Keller said this, we overestimate what we can do in a year and we underestimate what we can do in 5 years.
I think a lot of people too, and Daniel, we talk about this all the time, it's like the power of partnership. Like, our partnership is very unique. And I think one thing that helps us with our partnership is how we hold each other accountable. Like, I can tell Ryan, like, yo, what's up? Ryan can come to me and be like, yo, bro, you need to, what's up? Like,
yeah,
you know, and it's no personal feeling because we're brothers outside the business, right? We're friends outside the business. And that's very rare that you see that, but we believe in each other and we have our own different lanes that we are in the business. But that accountability piece is super important.
What I think is inspiring with you guys too is none of you guys have egos. Or maybe you do, but I don't see it. Like, I know each of you guys.
Oh, Keith got an ego. Keith got an ego. He doesn't.
No.
He hides it well then.
That's on the court. That's on the court, Eric. Keith's on the court.
The way you show up is the way you show up. Keith has the ego. But the key part is he can check his ego at the door. That's the key part right there.
that's the play. Like, you can't create partnerships and grow something big when you guys see that this is you're building something bigger than yourself. And you can have those authentic conversations and check each other in times of need, because it's not easy building a business, especially in tough times. And to know that you have partners with that can tell you the truth, that, you know, at the end of the day, whatever I say to you is all, there's love underneath it. There's no spite. There's no jealousy. There's all love underneath it. And we're on the same path. And I think that's super, super, super cool. In getting to know Gary more, Gary keeps talking to me more and more about everything that he has in partnership. And it's changing my mindset on how I grow in the next phase of our world. Is I'm missing other partners inside of my world to be able to go build something bigger with.
That's super key. Like for me, when I started in this ownership journey, well, it was before that, but the ownership journey 20 years ago, I got a business partner. We've been business partners for 27 years. We have never had an argument over money. When I say never, never had an argument over money. Matter of fact, I don't think we ever had a real argument. Now, we have said some choice words to each other because we didn't like something that somebody did. I didn't say that. But we have never had a real argument where it came to a breakdown because we don't count. I believe that, like, what I see you guys is you guys aren't counting individually. You're counting collectively. And that's what's important when you count collectively, not individually, because it's a sign that when you start counting individually, that's the breakdown of the relationship. It's kind of sort of, it's just like a marriage. I don't know, Dan, you've been married, what, about 12, 14 years? How long you been married?
I've been married 13 years. I've been with my wife for 20 years, though.
How long you been married, Keith?
7 years.
We've
been together for 13.
All right. So I've been married longer than you've been alive, Keith. I've been married 38 years, right?
Yeah, it is longer than I've been alive.
I've been with my wife over 40 years. So what I'm saying is that it shows up in partnership and relationship. It shows up in your business. And I'm a firm believer in the way that you live your life personally, it'll show up in your business. When you have a commitment in your personal life, it's easier to make commitments in your business life. And even though I didn't say it's all going to be rosy. I didn't say 38 rosy years. I didn't say that, right? What, you know, you understand that you got to break this thing down. You got to separate really the good from the not so good and understand that it requires a long conversation in personal and in business. You got to be able to work it out. And I'm pretty sure you guys over at Coalition, you guys have had some challenges and you just had to look. Let's get back to where we supposed to be and have the real conversation. And whoever's not pulling their load, you got to look at them and use some choice words. Might be a couple of MFs thrown out there. Might be a couple of SOBs thrown out there. Nobody takes it personal. Everybody knows that you guys are moving the needle ahead.
Yeah, we were just featured on the KW Role Models. And so they flew out from Austin and filmed us for a couple of days and created this whole documentary. And the opening clip, you hear Ryan say, well, sometimes I don't like these guys, right? And I'm laughing, and Harrison is laughing because that's true. Like, we have those moments like, yo, I got to go, man. I'm good on this, you know? But I know we always come back centered, right? And even when we come back centered, always. And that's because we all want the same common goal. We want to win, and we're very passionate about winning, you know? And I think when you're getting in partnership with people, if you're not passionate about winning, I can't be in partnership with you.
Right.
Like, I can't, because I know how passionate I am about winning. I'm not in the business of getting in partnership with people that are not aligned with my values and my morals. I can't do that. That's not a thing. And so when you're getting in partnership with people, you have to know who you're getting in partnership with, because it's a serious time frame.
It's like getting married.
When we first got in partnership, one of the first things we had to do was create our divorce. Like, if we were ever to break up, what would happen? You know? So, like, that's important in partnership. The paperwork was tight. We had attorneys. We had to spend at least over five figures in attorney fees and things of that nature, just making sure everything is right. And I think that's important as well.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit HomeTeam.com to learn more.
The other piece of that, you guys have very clearly defined roles. Everyone knows what they're doing, and that's a really key piece with partnerships. It's not, let's just go in and do this thing together and we'll figure it out, but like, hey, here's your lane. Ryan is ops. That is 100% his lane, his focus, his everything about him is breeding that. You're in sales. Harrison's the community guy and the political guy, and you guys have very clearly defined roles, which I think is part of what makes you guys so successful. There is some overlap in some areas, but it's very clear whose ball is in whose court and who's responsible for the outcome.
You're 1,000% right. And when you talk about those lanes, when they're clearly defined, and like you said, there are some overlap, but like the more defined they are, the more easier it is to run.
Yeah.
And that was something when we came together, we looked at our systems and we looked at who we were as people and who we were in business and said, man, we're different in all different ways. So this thing can be very powerful when we create this. We did the planning phase. We planned for like 6 to 8 months before we actually merged together, right? And so that was one of the things, like having those lanes clearly defined and having those lanes. So I can't go over to ops and be like, Ryan, you need to go. Nah, you know, I can say, hey, man, from the sales standpoint, you know, this is an opportunity for us right here. Harrison has flown all over the country speaking on every single stage. And Harrison has been somebody that has truly, truly helped me on the speaking standpoint. Like to have a partner like that that have sat with me and talked about, okay, you say this here, you sit on a panel, you want to talk about this. Cause it was very hard for me at first to talk about myself. Like that was just like, I used to get in trouble. My mom used to tear me up for bragging and I felt like it was bragging, you know, but you know, Harrison broke it down like, no, you need to be able to go from one-to-one to one-to-many because you have a story. You come from where you come from and where you are now, like you have a story to tell. And I'm super passionate about it.
I told you, Dane, he got an ego. He just check it at the door. See, I told you, they try to, oh, no, all this humility. I'm sitting there looking at him like he giving this old composed conversation that we having.
Oh,
he probably busting at the seams on his chair. Like, I really want to say this. Go ahead and say it.
Hey, listen. At least you know, when you go into war with me, you're going to have somebody on the front lines fighting and ready to win. 1,000%.
Yeah, I remember playing basketball with him the first time. I was like, oh, this is a different human.
Yeah.
I've known Keith for like 2 years. We was hooping. I was like, he's different. Different on the court.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, man. You get me. We got to get to a certain goal. We got to win this competition. Or we got to do X, Y, and Z, man. Like, yeah, you're going to be like, man, who is this guy? Like, yeah, it's a whole other different mindset.
Fierce competitor.
That's what it takes to go to the next level. You got to be willing to leave it all out there and just take it to the next level. And we, you know, we started the conversation about this rough year. And let's talk about this whole idea of the way that the year turned, being consistent. How did that all work out? So now we're in October. We know what January, February, and part of March was. Now let's talk about April, May, June, and moving forward.
Yeah, I think last month, man, we did about 19 million, 20 million total for the month. And that was like one of our biggest months this year. And I think a lot of people, when it gets boring, sometimes success is boring. And when you are consistent and doing this one thing and you're good at this one thing, people go try to do other things because they think grass is greener on the other side. But you're really good at this. You should be focused on this, right? And I think we really got back to the basics, went to our database and looked at our people who know, like, and trust us and loved us and started leaning on them heavy and really leaning on them. I got very intentional. If anybody is looking for a good book to read as agents, I recommend this book right here. 7 Levels of Communication. This book and Rich Dad, Poor Dad are the two books that changed my life in business and real estate, quite frankly. And so I got very intentional and put my head down and said, hey, it's time to go to work. This is what I'm going to focus on for the next 3 to 6 months because I know what type of outcome I want. Me, Harrison, and Ryan. And another thing that we saw, that trickled down throughout the company. When we did that, it trickled down. That energy that we brought to the table, our agents, oh man, like they turned up tremendously. Even admin, like the admin team was like, oh wow, like it's a different type of energy. So, you know, that's something that we had to do. And as leaders, a lot of times, you know, we're figuring it out as well. You know, we're learning and we're figuring it out. You know, we have mentors and things like that, and we have people that we can call. But sometimes you have to really check yourself and say, hey, get back to the basics, do what was working, and just keep it going. Even though it may be boring, but success is boring. And now we're seeing the fruits of our labor by doing that.
There comes a point where you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice of whether you're going to keep doing what you've been doing or whether you're going to do what's going to take you to the next level. And if you keep doing what you've been doing and you're having a rough 3 months, you're probably going to have a rough 6 months. And then when you flip that around, you do what you know you have to do, which has been what's made you consistent. When you go back to that, that's the game changer right there, because that's going to produce you results. Now, what the other part about that, what people really have to understand, that doesn't mean you don't grow and adapt. That just means you go to your core fundamental basics of what got you to where you are, because the fundamentals are fundamentals. And as long as you're fundamentally sound and you're practicing the fundamentals, and just like you said, you're really good at something, you master it, then you can ad lib. You can add some other components to that. However, your basic fundamentals of what you do stay the same.
100%. And our events, like, we're an events-based company. Like, you know, in this area, we're doing events. Like, Emory, you've been to our events. Like, we throw parties. We have a good time. And we bring people out. And we bring influencers out. Our events are top-notch here in the D.C. metro area. And I think we had to get back to that as well. Making sure when we do have events that we're not just having events to have events, but also capturing the data and the leads that are coming to those events, especially if they're new people, to be able to have that system in place to where we're setting appointments from the events. That was, when we started this thing, that was our key core foundation. If we're at an event, we need to set certain amount of appointments from this event so that this event can be paid for, quite frankly. And we track that. You know, we had got away from that, and now we're back doing that, and that's helping out a lot. Even just from the CBC event that you just came to, Emory. If anybody's not familiar with Congressional Black Caucus, that's a week here in D.C. where Black people in politics, Black people in government, fly into D.C. and learn more about legislation, what's going on in America today, and how can we make it better, and also celebrate. And even just from that event that we just had, I had like 10 appointments coming from that event. Like after that event, just 10 appointments. That entire week, I had like 20 appointments from that week. And I'm not saying that, okay, you got to go out and get 20 appointments, but you know, you need to get some if you're out and about. And that's just lead generating.
Yeah. Lead generation is meeting people and getting face to face and having appointments.
You got to get belly to belly with the people, man.
So going back, we're still having this conversation about this consistency. And so you said you did 20 million last month. What about the gray road? I'm calling the gray road, you know, when you took the dip in coming into March, from March to June. I call that the gray road because you had to make a comeback. You had to get your level set, go back to fundamentals. It wasn't fun. It wasn't easy. However, that's the consistency that you had to bring back to the business. So from March to June, those 3 months right there, what was that like on your comeback trail? And you were rehabbing at the same time.
Yeah, man. I had surgery on my Achilles in April to top it off. Like, and you know, man, God worked in mysterious ways. I'm going to say
I ain't going with that. God worked in mysterious ways for people who don't know him.
Man, listen, I'm from Mississippi. I'm from the South. If my mama heard you say that, sure. Listen, let me tell you, God set me down. He set me down. He said, Keith, you need to sit down. And you talk about that gray road. Right. When he sat me down for like, I couldn't go anywhere. You know, I had Achilles surgery. That's a major surgery. I couldn't go anywhere. I had to be in the house. I had to ask for help, you know. And that was the one thing, asking for help, that really, really taught me. I had the systems in place already. I just wasn't leaning into them enough. And by me sitting down, it really showed me. And I really saw, like, oh my God, like, we've created this world that we have of people that are great people. You just need to lean into them more, right? And so that was super important. You talk about the gray road. Ryan tackled the budget. He was on a budget every single day. Let's chop this off. Meeting with our CPA, our books person, like, We got to chop this off. Our director of operations, Jamie, they're together every day trying to chop off the budget. Harrison, me and Harrison, we got in the lab. We call it the dungeon at our office. We got in the lab. We started doing lead generating. We started meeting with our people. I started back having lunches with our past clients and really leaning into that. And we did it every single week, that I wasn't traveling, to make sure that by this time, in the quarter three, going into quarter four, that we would be set up. And what we do always at the end of the year, like going into quarter four, we do 12-week year, right? We do 12-week year to go into the next year. Last year, we didn't do 12-week year, right? So now we have 12-week year implemented. Another thing, too, is that we had to look at our people in our world and say, okay, we can't always teach the 12-week year. We had somebody come in to teach that for our agents and go through that with our agents as well. We're involved in it, but we're not doing coming up with the content or teaching it, you know? And that was something else, the leverage piece. And we got the gray road was a grind. It was a grind.
So all these things were happening. I thought you said you had Achilles surgery. So you were hobbled. You had one and a half legs. Did that matter?
Not at all. I had to get to it. Either you're going to barbecue, you're going to mildew. You're going to, you know, mildew out on the water. Like, you're going to sit, that, or you're going to go barbecue. Keith,
that's a Mississippi thing. Either you're going to barbecue or mildew. But, you know, that's one of the things they say, you know, you have to be willing to do the things that other people aren't willing to do. So later you can do the things that other people can't do. So you just got to put that work in, and you got to be willing to, you know, success is not an option.
Absolutely not.
So I like that. No. I like that.
Thank you.
So the gray road wasn't hard. I mean, it wasn't easy. Now you're at the end of the year. You're seeing the fruits of your labor. You're going at the end of the year. You're going to be going into your 12-week year. So what's the big thing for you guys right now? If you had to tell folks that had a rough beginning of the year, they picked it up a little bit more, or if they had a rough beginning of the year and they're still having a rough year, closing the year out, how would you tell them to close the year out?
For teams and individual agents, for teams, I would tell them recruiting and bringing people in their world and making sure that onboarding process is super tight, but recruiting is super important, right? For an individual agent, I would tell them to lean into their database. You've had some transactions, right? Like you close people. You need to go back to those people and ask those people for referrals, you know? I feel like for every deal I do, I should get 3 referrals from it. And I track that. If I'm not doing that, then I didn't do it. To myself internally, maybe I didn't do a good enough job in that transaction if I'm not getting a referral from that person. And I ask for those referrals, you know? So that's something that I think that agents should do. They should go back and lean on their past clients and engage with them, you know? Check on them. Ask them how they're doing and go get those referrals. That's something that the database, we kind of miss out on, you know? People want to go pay for other things. That I think that all the money right now is in the database, especially right now.
Let's get tactical really quick. How do you ask for the referral? What does it sound like?
I ask for the referral in a buyer consultation. So there's a slide on there where I basically talk about, when you get to the end of this process, I want you to look back and say, hey, I checked off all boxes, I did my due diligence, and I was able to be very transparent with my realtor. Right. That's what I want for you. Peace of mind and good energy is everything going through this process. And I want to make sure you have that peace of mind and good energy so you can go out and tell other people about your experiences. And when you do that, all you have to do is send a group text, put me in a group text with that person. And, you know, I'm going to make them feel as special as I did for you. That's even at the buyer consultation.
Wait a minute. Hold up. You said something. You said a buyer consultation and you said slide. Right. So are you telling me that no matter whether you meet with a buyer or a seller, you're doing a presentation and you have slides? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you consider that as bringing value?
1,000%.
Okay. I'm just checking because, you know, a lot of people don't understand that it's a presentation no matter what. You're selling your services from the time you shake that person's hand until closing and then still after closing, you're still selling them on what you sold them. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You know why? Because I feel like I got the best buyer presentation and listing presentation in the country. So I deserve a referral from that. You talk about ego, right? Like, I feel like, I truly feel like that when I walk in.
Oh, he's coming out, like, Daniel. You see him goes. Coming out, Daniel. There he go.
You know? That's really what I feel like, you know? And you have to think, like that, man. You have to think like that. I truly feel if you really want to win. And also during the process, and so I asked for a referral 3 times before my client even closed. If we're negotiating inspections and things like that, I'll say, hey, typically, you don't really get this, but we're going to ask for it anyway. You know, if the seller agreed to it, on the buyer side, if the sellers agreed to it, that's a high moment. At that point, I'll say, thank you. Do you know anybody that wants to feel the way you feel right now? Let me know. I'm in the energy space of blessing people. And my clients, I created that relationship that we can talk that way, right? But it's still planting that seed of, I need to go get my realtor some referrals for what he did for me. And then at the closing table, we take that cool picture and we go viral. I'll say, hey, please, like, if you can send me 3 people in the next month or so that's looking to close on their home or looking to sell their home, I would be very thankful for you. I'm asking for it, you know? And what has happened from doing that, I don't have to pick up the phone and call people. And by the time that person get to me when that referral is coming, it's an alley-oop. It's warmer than it would be if I didn't create those type of relationships, which is important.
I feel like a lot of agents just struggle with how do they ask. And I think you're setting the tone when we first meet. You're asking again when you do something for them, and you're reminding them at the end. But I think the big thing I loved about what you said is you said the next 30 days, not the next 6 months, not the next 12 months, 3 people in the next 30 days that I can help and that I can bless as well. That's good.
1,000%. Because we all know, like, when you're going through the process of home buying, that's all you're thinking about, right? So people are asking you about your process.
Yeah.
People are asking you about that. That's all you're talking about. And so people are going to be looking, whether they are a year out, 2 years out, 6 months out, it's for you to find out where they are. And sometimes what I found is that when people come into my world, they're actually further along than they think they are. It's just they haven't been talking to a great specialist to help them figure that out.
We're talking to Keith, but Daniel, in your own right, you got a monster over there in Colorado.
Definitely.
So what would you add to that idea about partnership? What would you add to the idea about being consistent? Because both you guys are like beasts. I admire both of you.
I appreciate that.
I really do. So from a matter of consistency, from a matter of partnership, what's in the Dixon group?
So I think consistency is the secret sauce. I don't think you have to be very good. You got to be consistent. You ain't got to be talented yet, but you got to be consistent. If you just do the work day in and day out, you'll see results in the end. The partnership thing, I mean, I've always had I work with my family. My family's helped me build the business that we have today, but it's also limited my ability to be able to go outside and have partnerships. So I definitely have partnerships inside of my family, but it's making a change owning the brokerage and thinking about partnerships in my businesses. We're working on some of the leaders inside of our world, backing into ownership in some of the companies that I have based on results-driven activities and such. And I think it's just really having, I have a lot of partnerships in different ways. The partnerships with my coaches, my mentors, my friends. I mean, there's a lot of people inside of my world that I get information and get knowledge from that I do consider a partnership that maybe not is sharing profit, but these are definitely partners that have helped influence me and help me grow my world as well. So I think this next journey, this next 5 years are going to be so different than the last 5 years have been because I can see clear. I know what's happening. I know what I need to do differently this time than I did as I was learning on the way up.
Man, that was like transparent, but so true. And this is a quote that I'm a big quote guy, right? I really believe in this quote. In the first 5 years is not where you get rich. It's where you get good.
Yeah.
It's where you get good. You know what I mean? Like, if people don't understand that, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. But that consistency, you don't have to be as good. You don't have to be as talented. You just got to stay consistent.
Yeah. It's the secret sauce.
That's real because, you know, and a lot of people don't understand that where consistency trumps talent time over time.
Yeah.
There's just a whole lot of people that's talent, and they're not willing to put in the work and they're not willing to be consistent. And that consistency brings about mastery, and that mastery brings about, I call, you know, my world is phenomenal. That mastery brings about phenomenal. And you can't take that away. You can't take that away. That's not a talent. That's a grit. That's a gut. That's a hard thing. And both of you guys, That's the reason why you're so successful. And then that other thing you said about partners, Daniel, you know, I believe that sometimes people get hung up in that idea of who their partners are. You may have partners that are physical to you, and you may have partners that are monetarily compensated. We have to know and understand that we have a whole group of partners that may not be monetarily compensated. They're compensated through the strength of the relationship. Their compensation is through the strength of the relationship and their ability to share and their ability to lean on each other and their ability to grow. Because, and just what you said, my big thing, and I say this all the time, relationships will take you places money can't.
That's my favorite quote by you, Emery.
And when you're in a relationship with people, you establish those partnerships with people, and it's based on that relationship, it's no amount of money that can make up for that. Because I can have $1 million, I can have $1 billion. If I don't know who you know, I'm still going to be missing something. And my money won't get me what you can get from your group of people that you're in relationship with in your partnership.
The last piece of that I'm learning too is I need help.
Right.
You know, the first part of this journey has been just put it on my back and I got it. And now I don't know if it's because I'm getting closer to 40, but I'm starting to have fractures in my armor. Little splinters in my armor. And I'm like, man, I need someone to come do the lifting with me. Like, let's go do this together. Let's go. Yeah.
you know I ain't going to let you off the hook. You know I'm going to bring that legacy thing up, right?
You always do.
As you get closer to 40, Keith, you got a couple more. You got a few more years. Yeah. Life changes when you get close to the 40s.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to hear it.
Look, you, matter of fact, you're going to get some more aches and pains, too.
Hey, right? I know, man.
But just mentally, just perspective-wise, it changes as you get more mature. Your perspective changes. And I believe that, like, in this whole space of what you guys have created, you created these things in your 30s, right? And you create these things in your 30s that absolutely nobody can take away from you. And that's your building phase. Now, as you move into the next journey, when you get to your 40, the real question is, okay, now that you built it, how are you going to share it? How are you going to share it? And when you figure out how to share it, the growth that you will experience personally, professionally, and monetarily, off the chart. Just remember that. The question is, how are you going to share it? It'll change your world. It'll change your world.
That's powerful.
Hey, Keith. Yo, man, I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I appreciate the energy you bring to me. I appreciate the energy you bring to an old guy. And I just want you to know, this is kind of crazy. Like, we play basketball together. We talk, all that kind of stuff. But just real, I'm old enough to be your damn dad.
I know, man. You motivate me. When you came to the, when you get on the court, man, you motivated me.
But the whole thing is, and I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to learn. It doesn't matter. And that's one thing that we got to blank this whole thing out. We got to be willing to learn from each other. Because if I really knew everything, we wouldn't even be on this podcast. I'd be on my private island drinking a cold drink. And since I'm not there, you know, we actually got to pour into me. I got to pour into you. DD, I got to pour into you. You got to pour into me. As brothers, we got to figure out how to pour into each other and make some phenomenal things happen for us in the world. Right. And I'm going to let Daniel close us out because he let me carry this whole conversation. And he was kind of quiet, even though he had all kinds of input. So, DD, close us out, bro.
I think this is a great episode. Again, I think that what a lot of listeners love about it is just authentic conversations. And Keith, you brought the heat.
Thanks, man.
Authentic, real, true. I appreciate our friendship. And
absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today, my brother.
Likewise. Thank you, guys.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning. You must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any do not call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.